my first meeting with the governor handed us all a 6-page turnaround agenda. I mean, single spaced, both sides. These are all things he wanted. And I made the comment to him at that time, well, can you prioritize this? Can you say what of these things is most important to you? And the governor's comment was, I don't negotiate against myself. I'm not going to give you one thing. So sometimes when my Republican friends say, well, you know, the Democrats haven't given him really anything. Well, first of all, that's not true. We voted for property tax freezes. We voted for work comp reforms. The issue is, though, the governor has said that doesn't move the ball any. And so when you're talking about the House and the other legislative body, they don't really see any incentive to move, because if the governor's not giving you credit for the steps you're taking toward the middle, then they're not really inclined to join in that.
What else would you want to address after the election in terms of the budget?
There's no question that we do need to look at the budget hard. But I would point out, when I hear people say, well, you know, the Democrats only want to raise taxes, the governor has proposed two budgets, both of them with draconian cuts, one just at the U of I campus where we are, one with a 20% cut, one with a 30% cut to the U of I. And even with cuts like that, the closest budget he had to balance was 2.2 in the red. The other one was well over $3 billion out of whack. So even the governor can't get there unless you talk revenue.
Well, since you mentioned the U of I, how do we ensure stability in funding for higher education? And is there too much spending with administrative salaries in places that should be cut?
I think there's been a long time where the University of Illinois has been getting cuts. And this is under Democratic governors as well. This doesn't all fall on Governor Rauner. But the fact is, the U of I has been slow in some regard to acknowledging some of the complaints coming out of the legislature and from the government. And I'm really excited about the new leadership that we have at U of I. Of course, I'm new as well. And seeing their different approach to those things. We're working on something right now. We're hoping to file in November. It's basically a compact. It's an idea that the president, President Killeen, who came from the New York system, had in that state, which is an agreement for multi-year funding. The flip side of that is, okay, good, we're giving you the stability to you. You will know from year to year what your university should be receiving. The flip side of that is acknowledging those criticisms. So when people say, we don't think the U of I is a state school anymore, it's not for our homegrown talent because they can't get into U of I, it's acknowledging that a certain percentage of the incoming class should be Illinois residents. It's acknowledging that, you know, we don't want these students to stay there for 6-7 years. We need a high 5-year graduation rate. And it's U of I coming to the table and saying, we agree with you. If you acknowledge this much money is going to go to the U of I for a certain amount of years, we can guarantee that money is going to go to financial aid. We can guarantee that the tuition will stay at a certain rate. We can guarantee that we'll have a graduation rate at a certain rate. So it's accountability, and this is true performance-based funding. So it's getting a buy-in from both sides of the political aisle, because the idea is we agree money is tight, so let's make sure we're spending it, we're getting the best bang for the buck for the entire state, and that's here at the U of I.
You see a need for pension reform, and if so, how do we do it?
There has been pension reform in some ways. I mean, of course, in 2011, we moved to a second tier 2 system where people pay in a lot more money and get a lot less out of it. And in fact, the projections I see is that within the next 10 years, we'll have more people on tier 2 than on tier 1. And those people are actually helping to prop up the tier 1 people. But the fact is, whether you're on tier 1 or tier 2, every single paycheck, you had money taken out of your check. You didn't miss a payment or you wouldn't be in the program. It was the state that didn't do what it was supposed to do and hold its end of the bargain. So any kind of pension reform has to acknowledge that the state has to make sure that contract is upheld and that it whatever it needs to get. And it's a large amount of money this year. And the ramp up to get it to a respectable and safe level of funding will take effect each and every year because it gets larger and larger. But the number one thing is, and I hear this all the time, well, we need to do X, we need to do this. Well, the fact is we need to do what we were supposed to do in the first place. And about 50 years of legislators didn't take that seriously. And I'm glad they're starting to do that now.
From higher ed, we'll move to K-12. How do you change the school funding formula and balance the needs of large suburban districts with smaller ones downstate?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is get away from your reliance on property taxes, because there is such a disparity throughout the state. And the current formula we have, the one thing that everyone seems to agree on is that it's broken. You can be in a wealthy suburb and get 4 times the per pupil funding that you do downstate in rural schools, but also in inner city like Chicago schools. So what we need to do is step number one is change that formula, because certainly in Danville and certain places here in downstate, we are paying very high property taxes, and yet we're not seeing the same result as they're getting in other parts of the state. And so we are working on that now. We tried several different bills in the last session with varying results about trying to change that formula. What the governor is doing now, which I give him some credit for, is he's put together a bipartisan panel, and it has a lot of these people who've really spent a lot of time in this, the experts in the field. And they're working on it. We don't know what they're going to come up with, but you do have some of the smartest minds in the room that are looking at this issue. And I like that a lot better than how it's been in the past, which is to say, well, if we can't get perfection the first try, there's no point in changing it. Right now we have a disparity where certain schools downstate can't afford school supplies. Teachers are buying them, and their suburban schools have a $63 million reserve. There's no system that allows for that kind of disparity that anyone would call fair and equitable. As soon as we acknowledge that, then the next step is, all right, well, let's start putting our best minds in the room to change that.
I was wondering if there's anything that you take from your time as a prosecutor that you can bring to the legislature.
A couple things. One, I think it gives me credibility when I'm talking to someone where I'm more conservative, and that doesn't always mean Republican, by the way, colleagues on criminal justice issues. So when I talk about decriminalizing marijuana, and I'm known as the prosecutor on the criminal law committee, and I vote for it, you see people kind of raising their eyebrows, and they'll come and grab me afterwards. And I tell them very honestly, the way I make sure that the child molesters that I prosecuted can stay in an overcrowded prison is to make sure it's not overcrowded with people who do these, you know, nonviolent offenses. So I think that helps. But I also think any kind of practice where you negotiate with people, and that's what I did, right? So I'd sit down and we try to plea bargain, and sometimes they're talking about years of people's life, but sometimes you're also saying, look, I can give you probation for this offense if you address the issues that really cause your behavior, right? You can get mental health treatment, and that shows me some good faith here. You can do some substance abuse treatment, things like that. It makes you think outside the box and realize that any incremental step from where we are now is a positive one.